And joining us right now live to get us ready for the Final Four is Connor Hope of Heat Check College Basketball. Connor, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First off, I just want to get your overall take on the four teams in the group. Obviously, some surprises there and teams that weren't a surprise. What do you make of this four-team Final Four on the men's side?
It's fantastic. Obviously NC State is the prize team of the tournament. But being out here, talking to some of the players, you ask them if they're surprised that they're here. They're not. So it's gonna be great. I think we have the two best teams in the country all season in Purdue and UConn, an Alabama team that can shoot the hell out of the ball, plays a very unique and very exciting style of basketball. And then DJ Burns, probably the sweetheart of this tournament. If he wasn't on everyone's radar coming in, he certainly is now. And that NC State team, I think, is just, they're showing so much joy and playing with so much joy that it's fun to watch.
I mean, of course, they're not going to say they're surprised to be there, right? They believe in themselves. They know they can be. And hey, we're looking at a great run that they've had. But what are the odds they get past Purdue and keep the run going? Or is it just inevitable? It's Purdue and UConn.
I think we're on a collision course for Purdue-UConn. But I do think that NC State's going to show Purdue some things that maybe they haven't seen all that much this season. DJ Burns joked earlier yesterday that Zach Edey hasn't seen a center that can put the pressure on him on his defensive end of the floor outside of Burns. And while it was kind of said in a joking manner by Burns, he's not that wrong. Outside of Grand Ike for Gonzaga, Purdue really hasn't seen an elite low post scorer at the five position. So they can throw, the NC State can throw some things at Purdue that maybe forces Edey to get out of his comfort zone defensively and put some pressure on the Boilermakers. But Purdue and UConn have just been steamrolling teams in this tournament, and really, I think we're going to see them ultimately face off on Monday.
UConn has been a phenomenal story. They have a chance to win back-to-back titles, and somewhat quietly, I think, because they don't have like this massive star power where these recognizable guys you see on commercials, like you're looking on the women's side with Caitlin Clark. I don't think, you know, casual people could name several players on that UConn roster, but they've been so dominant, so good, well-coached by Danny Hurley. For people that aren't familiar, why has this UConn team been so good and so dominant this year?
They share the ball so well. They don't care who scores as long as the ball goes through the net. They've got five players who are in the top 500 in the country in assist rate. They've got a bunch of players who just shoot the ball. I think they've three or four players that are in the top 500 for three-point percentage. Obviously, having Donovan Clingan on the defensive end is one of the biggest difference makers in college basketball. And you say they don't have star power. They don't. They don't have the recognizable names. But that starting five, there's not a single player outside of maybe Cam Spencer in that starting five that would shock me if they had like a reasonably good NBA career.
You talked about DJ Burns being the sweetheart. I want to go back to him just for a second of this NCAA tournament run and how confident he is going up against the massive mass of a human that Zach Edey is and being able to stop him. If DJ Burns is able to box Edey out, keep him off the boards, then shouldn't he entertain a career in the NFL on the offensive line? I kind of joke, but I mean, what is DJ's future in basketball? Does he have a future in basketball, or do you think that all those talks of him maybe going to the NFL, maybe that's a route for him?
No, DJ and Coach Keith put a pretty quick, swift end to the yeah. NFL talk. He doesn't see himself as being built to play in the NFL. Outside of his size, I kind of agree. But his finesse at the five this season, being able to pull defenders out away from the paint, pass the ball, you know, I think that could open up the lane for some of NC State's scores against Purdue in a way that you didn't really get from the bigs of Tennessee or even the bigs of Gonzaga for that matter in the second half. But I think he's a basketball player. Look, he has a unique style. He doesn't look like he's built to play basketball, But then when you watch him play and you watch him with the skill set he has, it's not going to be an NBA career necessarily, but he'll make a pretty decent living playing overseas in some premier international basketball league.
Zach Edey wins his second straight AP Player of the Year award. I think he goes underappreciated because he's playing in an era where we all talk about three-pointers and spreading the floor and guard play. He's kind of a throwback, but it's certainly working for Purdue. What makes Zach Edey so special at his size, and is it going to be enough for Purdue to upset UConn and get that win if they do make the national championship game?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. The size helps, right? Zach Edey is 7'4", 300 pounds. I think Painter put it best. I mean, 6'9", 250 is big, and that's 7 inches shorter and 50 pounds lighter than Edey. But Edey also has touch around the rim. He's an incredibly smart player, doesn't take dumb fouls, knows where his positioning needs to be, knows how to reset the 3 second count in the lane so that he can, quote, camp in the lane without actually violating any rules. And I just think his throwback style is so successful because he is so good, because it takes fouls, it takes physical defense, it takes 3 or 4 guys to ultimately slow him down to the tune of maybe he doesn't score 20, maybe he doesn't get 15 rebounds. And then obviously Purdue shooting around him helps to take the pressure off a little bit so that he gets himself into a lot of those one-on-one situations in the low post where you get him one-on-one with an average low post defender, and it's kind of game over from there.
Connor, we've been talking about it the last couple of days here on the show, just the data that came out with the resale value of tickets for the Final Four and the women's value, more than $1,000 than the men's Final Four. What's that say about the game this year? Obviously, we know about the star power of Caitlin, but the women's game overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fantastic, and it's not just Caitlin Clark. It's Angel Reese, who I know is no longer in the tournament. It's Paige Beckers. It's Cameron Brink. It's the undefeated South Carolina team led by one of the greatest current coaches in basketball on either side, men's or women, in Dawn Staley. Women's basketball is in a great place, and I'm not going to get into politicking the size of the arena, but the fact that there are people who are willing to spend 4 figures just to be at the games, to me, shows that women's basketball is not just on the rise, but it's you know, at a place and at a peak that we've never seen before.
It's great to see. And Caitlin Clark in particular, I'm trying to rack my brain as to the last time we've seen a college basketball star, men or women, be this popular and this mainstream. That's, she's on State Farm commercials. She's doing Gatorade commercials. I don't see a lot of men's college basketball players in these ads. When's the last time you remember a player, men or women, capture this much attention and hype in the college game?
You could make an argument for Zion Williamson. I mean, it's probably Breonna Stewart during her 4 championship run at UConn, where you really saw a player that universally everyone could point to and say, that's a player that's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. And her ability to see her shot go through and then not miss and take those confident deep threes, beat people off the dribble, share the ball in transition, like use her magnetism as an offensive weapon to pull in defenders and find open cutters to the basket. It's fantastic to watch. It's fantastic basketball. And she's willing to put herself out there and be the face of women's college basketball, which is something that's been missing, I think, from the women's game for the past couple of years. So she's a joy to watch. She'll go down as one of the greatest of all time. And I think even when she gets to the WNBA, there's still going to be a certain level of hype that I think she carries with her that maybe other stars of the college game haven't been able to.
It's certainly been great for the women's college game. I love to see it. It's just, it's such a great product right now at this point. and I can't wait to see these games Friday and Sunday. I flip on the men's side, though. Where is the star power on the men's side? Why do you think it is that we're talking about the stars on the women's side? And, you know, I know we could sit here and talk about the great players. We talked about Zach Edey. We talked about DJ Burns and some of these guys. But the casual viewer, somebody out there, they may have trouble naming the top two or three best college basketball players on the men's side. Why is that?
I think part of it is the way that the transfer portal has opened up the game. You have Zach Edey, who people might think plays a boring style of basketball. So why would I want to watch him? You have Dalton Knecht, the second best player in college basketball, who started out as a junior college player. You have TJ Shannon, who had to miss part of the season with his legal issues. Like, it's not a strong NBA draft class, so you don't even have that. And the top players in the game don't jump off the screen at you in the way that a Zion Williamson did or an Anthony Davis did. They play good fundamental basketball. They play good offense. They play sound defense, but they don't pull the attention to themselves. And you look at the top two teams, Purdue and UConn, and those teams don't care who shoots the ball. So Zach Edey will get his 20 points, but if it's Lance Jones taking six threes, they're just fine with that. For UConn, they don't care who takes the shot. So you don't have the top team really pushing a star outside of Zach Edey, who, again, people don't like his style a lot of the time. And I think that hurts him when it comes to his status as the face of the game.
Speaking of star power, Bronny, right? I mean, his dad's the star, but everyone's been talking about Bronny, and he's going to be this next big thing. Well, after 1 year in college basketball, you know, the numbers, they don't really pop out off the page at you or anything, but now he's talking about entering the draft, entering the portal. He's kind of keeping all those options open. Where do you see Bronny James playing next season? Is he going to be in the NBA, or is he going to be on a mid-major out there or another power conference team?
Yeah, I think he'll probably wind up somewhere in college basketball. I think there's still development to his game, especially on the offensive end, that needs to happen. And frankly, you know, he's not in a position where he has to go to the league, the association this year. You know, he's not a lottery pick or anything like that. And for as much as people want to criticize the role that his dad has played in the trajectory of his career, of Bronny's career, LeBron James is smart enough to recognize when the right moment is for his son to make a jump to the league. And I think that's not this year. It's probably in a year or two.
Coaching carousel continues in college basketball. We've seen a lot of changes. We even saw one here in Utah with Danny Sprinkle moving on to Washington, and Utah State hires Jared Calhoun. What do you know about Jared Calhoun, and what do you think of that hire?
I'm close friends with a guy who works closely with Calhoun. He's a fantastic coach. He really buys into the analytics. He buys into making sure you craft sets opponent by opponent. He hasn't had necessarily the most talented teams at Youngstown State, but he's still found a way to get the Penguins to success in their conference. So I think Calhoun was a great hire for Utah State. And you know, while he might not bring the bravado that Danny Sprinkle certainly had in his year at Utah State, I think Utah State fans should be pretty excited about the caliber of basketball that's going to be put on the court.
One guy's name who pops up in those coaching searches that's connected to our state is Mark Pope. His name's popped up, you know, multiple times in the past. Again, this year, connected to a few different coaching searches out there. He's still sticking around BYU Provo. He's, you know, from my perspective, he's a great fit for what BYU wants to do and for what he's doing in Provo. But it seems like the writing's on the wall that somewhere down the road, he's going to take one of those big-time leaps. You know, he's a Kentucky guy. Maybe that job is his someday. I don't know. What do you see for the future of a guy like Mark Pope?
Yeah, I think what Mark Pope has been able to do, especially this year in the jump to the Big 12, given the kind of the restrictions with the recruiting that he can do for BYU and the guys that he can actually get into the BYU program, he's a great coach, right? He didn't win the WCC, but he was also pitted against a Hall of Fame coach in Mark Few, and another top 20 coach in Randy Bennett, who've been there, done that. But BYU was right there for most of his time in the WCC. They were competitive in the Big 12. I don't know where he ends up next. I think if a big shiny object of a job jumps out and reaches out to him, he might take it just to maybe allow himself to get to the next level. But I agree with you. I think his fit at BYU has been fantastic. He's been able to kind of maximize what those BYU rosters can really be.
Before we let you go, Connor,
I want to ask you, to get your predictions. I want to give you a chance to say who you think is going to win the men's Final Four. Who wins the women's Final Four?
So I think, like I said, I think we're on a collision course for UConn, Purdue. I think ultimately whoever wins the matchup between Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon will decide that game. I picked Purdue before the season. I picked Purdue before the tournament. But at this point in time, it's nearly impossible to pick against UConn the way they've played the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to say UConn over Purdue. And then on the women's side, I'm going to say that South Carolina beats NC State. I think UConn women's runs out of gas with all the injuries that they've had, now going against the best player in college basketball in Caitlin Clark. I think they run out of steam in the Final Four. We'll get the Caitlin Clark and Iowa versus the undefeated South Carolina matchup that everyone wants to see. But Dawn Staley is the best in the game for a reason. I think South Carolina is going to end up cutting down the nets.
Another undefeated season for South Carolina would be a remarkable accomplishment. And to do it against Caitlin Clark in Iowa would make it even greater. Connor, thanks so much. Perfect primer for the Final Four this weekend, both men and women. Enjoyed it. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
All right, that's Connor Hope from Heat Check College Basketball. To go check out their website.
Good stuff.
Great stuff there, especially if you're into the numbers. They do a great job. HeatCheckCBB.com. Always great to have Connor on the show.